the topic today is underage drinking programs, youth leaders for community change, and we have four respected and knowledgeable speakers in the area. We will ask that they speak in turn, and then we will take your questions at the end. So if you could just write down your questions, and we will take them in the order we receive them at the end of the call. Okay, our first speaker is Jana Hogan Nelson, who is the Assistant Director of Programs.
Hi there. Not sure if Bob has stopped talking, but I'm going to start. This is Jana Nelson. We're just going to keep our part limited today because my guess is there's just a lot of questions and dialogue that can go on about the issue of using young people and your initiatives to make community change. And it's my understanding that you don't have a copy of any real agenda, so let me just tell you what we're going to talk about in the order, then we'll just kind of jump right into our presentation. We're just going to start today by talking about the power of young people to make change and what young people are actually doing already in the prevention of underage drinking. Then we've asked some young people who work with us at MASS to tell a little bit about what they've got going on. We've got Jacob Volkman, who's on the line, and then we've got Leah Bean, who's on the line, and they're going to spend a few minutes talking to you about the initiatives at their state. I talked to you a little about recruiting young people and training young people, the difference in youth involvement versus youth-led projects, and then really just open it up for question and answer. So it's a pretty short program. I have a feeling in a lot of ways we're preaching to the choir with this topic. You already all know that it's important to bring young people on board in all your projects, but hopefully we'll get some good dialogue going. So I want to start by just telling you a little bit about MASS history and what we have seen young people do for our organization as we kind of bring this subject to the table. In 1995, MASS, a primarily adult organization, decided that it was critical that we involve young people in our efforts. And we had a youth commission develop 8 initiatives for MASS to work with that would ultimately bring young people to our organization as partners. And today we're going to focus on 2 of the initiatives that came out of that youth commission report that went to our board. And just the underlying concept in all that we're doing with our initiatives to work with youth is that we really need young people to be our partners. And there's such a difference in youth involvement at a leadership level and getting young people to buy into what you're doing versus creating programs for youth without their involvement. And we really have made an effort to be partners to young people and to acknowledge all the gifts and the skills they bring to the table, particularly in the area of policy change. So the 2 initiatives that I really want to focus on today are the Youth in Action Initiative, which is directly connected to this whole OJJDP project, and then the National Youth Summit, which in a lot of ways was a precursor to this initiative. And in 1997, there was an event hosted in Washington, D.C. that brought together one young person from every congressional district in the country. The National Youth Summit brought together one young person from every congressional district in the country. And what we asked them to do was develop policy-level recommendations to prevent underage drinking, which is kind of the first national effort that we know of that actually asked young people not to design peer projects and not to be involved with peer-to-peer education or specific local policy projects, but to look at the nation as a whole and determine policy solutions for any underage drinking. At the conclusion of that event, the young people had 12 policy recommendations that they determined, and of the 12, they presented 3 at a national press event on the steps of the Capitol, and then had more than 300 appointments with members of Congress to release these recommendations and to talk to legislators about what they believe would prevent underage drinking. We took these recommendations that the young people had made and put them in a report form, and they delivered them to legislators. And the real point of the story is that three young people met with their senator, Senator Byrd from West Virginia, and discussed their work at the summit and discussed the policies that they had determined. And he was so impressed with the young people and what they've been doing and their vision for addressing underage drinking that in his role in the Senate, he was able to work with some other members of Congress to appropriate funding that went to OJJEP to work at the state level to prevent underage drinking. That money's in a lot of ways the reason that we're here today. So it's our belief that really young people are the driving force behind this initiative, and it just makes sense as we move forward in the future for young people to be involved with every step of this process. And I'm going to turn it over to Steve and let him talk to you specifically about some of the things that Matt has going on.
Since the summit in 97, we've put together different programs where we can actually get hands-on into the local communities with young people. And our cornerstone program right now is Youth in Action, where we have over 20 teams of young people throughout the United States working on local and state-level policy changes in regards to underage drinking. We also provide a training for different community groups. They don't need to be part of MAD or anything like that. It could be any type of community group looking to get young people to become activists within their communities. And we put together a program called Student Activist Training Program that gives young people the ability to understand what media advocacy is and how to apply that to their projects and their communities, teaches them how to work with local and state-level legislatures, and just really gives them the skills and the resources they need in order to become activists. And then the third one is what the summit was modeled after is our MAD Power Camp that Janet and Bobby have been doing for years now. That allowed kids to come together from around each state and, again, come up with their own ideas and their own plans, put the planning and the action together, and then be able to go home and implement them on a local level. And so with these three programs, we're not only empowering the young people, but we're also giving them a platform and an area for them to come into to be heard. And so these are our three main programs and what young people are doing. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to have Jacob go ahead and talk a little bit about what his Youth in Action group has done in Minnesota in passing a bill last year into a law. Jacob?
Yes. Okay. Thank you. Yes.
Hello?
Hi. My name is Jake Holtzman, and I'm a senior at Janesville Waldorf Harmon High School, Janesville, Minnesota. And I'm a member of Minnesota Youth in Action. And Minnesota began their Youth in Action project 2 years ago, and we've done projects at the school, city, and state level. 2 years ago, we started a law called the Brockway Bill, and this bill was to make it a felony for adults who provided alcohol to minors, because there was Kevin Brockway, who was at a New Year's Eve party, and on the way home, he crashed his vehicle into a tree, killing himself and a friend. Is everyone understanding this, or I hear myself? That's a gift.
This actually keeps going. That's what it gets out.
We can hear you, Jacob. Keep going.
Okay. Okay. So, Youth in Action got together with a Senator Amber Young and Representative Matt Kenza, and we worked together to make a bill, which would close the Minnesota loophole, because before they wanted to sell to minors, and in this case, the adult provided to a minor. And so Youth in Action went around, and after the bill was presented to the houses, Youth in Action members actually testified at the committee, and then went around and lobbied different times. We did a chip in your support, and we also did, it's not a joke, stop providing alcohol to me and my friends. And when the bill was supposed to be voted on, youth and action members actually held a press conference at the Capitol, and we had a team rally. And there we invited all media from around the state, and we had a great big conference, and teams were there showing their support from the bill. And then we did lobbying one more time that afternoon. And then that following week, the bill passed, and so it officially became Kevin's Law, which now holds adults more liable. And this was a great victory in Minnesota. And from then, we've been moving on, and we've got another big press conference coming up at the end of February, where we invited Jesse Ventura to come speak, and we're working on our next piece of legislation, which is going to make the law for kid registration in Minnesota.
Great. Thank you, Jacob. Now we're going to have Leah Bean talk a little bit about her experiences with the Manpower Camp and the response she's got from her friends as well throughout the state of Tennessee.
Thank you. My name is Leah Bean, and I'm a senior at Lawrence County High School. I've been a member of our Youth in Action program since it first started in Tennessee over a year ago. Our Youth in Action teams participated in many community activities, but our first big activity to participate in together was our Power Camp last summer. We went, we learned so much information. It was great, and we came back and really put it to good use. This past summer, after our Power Camp, we held a pool party open to the community. While everyone was there, we handed out literature on Youth in Action and opened the program to the community, and they really accepted it. All during the school year, we go around to different schools in our county and educate them on the dangers of drunk driving and underage drinking. We talk from anywhere from kindergartners to seniors in high school. This past February 8th, all the Youth in Action members from all over the state of Tennessee came together, and we got on the steps of our legislative plaza in Nashville. We held a huge press conference, and we had 499 pairs of shoes laying out that represented the 499 people killed in Tennessee in 1998 from alcohol-related crashes. Well, we then split up, and then after the press conference, we split up into our districts, and we went around explaining to our senators and representatives of the state of Tennessee why underage drinking and drunk driving needs to be stopped in Tennessee, and that they need to pass several laws showing that it will not be tolerated. We had tons of fun doing all of these events, as well as many other events that we've done. And I love these kinds of programs because I know that we're making an impact on our community, and we see people are listening. And not only does our county love it, but our teenagers in our county really like it also.
Thank you, Leah. Mm-hmm. With that in mind, just to give a little background to you on the camps in general, the Tennessee group is a little different than some of the other camps in that they actually use their camp as a way for their youth in action sites, which they have 17 in the state of Tennessee alone, to come and do planning. And so that's why in her explanation you heard more about youth in action, whereas the other states are different groups, SAD groups, DAN groups, PRIDE groups, come from their local schools to the camp to do their own planning and go home and implement them on a local level.
One of the things about Youth in Action is that it really is youth-led. What we do is we come into a community and we ask that the community identify some young people who are interested in being involved and recruiting a team. And a team can be as small as 3 and as large as 40 or more. And what we do is we train young people on how the public policy process works and how to partner with enforcement and this whole concept of media advocacy.
Let's be showing my prescription right now for
And we train these young people on the basics of how to get involved, and then we try to give them the flexibility to determine issues that are most relevant and issues that where they feel like they're going to have the most success, and then just decide how to tailor-made the training to give them the skills that are going to work in their communities and state.
So one of the things that is a challenge for any youth group is getting young people to not only buy into to the involvement, but to stick and to stay with the group. And so one of the things that we're finding across the nation and trying to recruit young people is that you need to tap into to young people who first, number one, want to be involved, Number two, have either had a personal involvement with underage drinking, some type of a tragedy, or maybe a personal experience. And we're finding a lot of young people who have had that are more willing to get involved in this issue. But also just young people who care about their communities and want to be active at the high school level. And so it really varies on the community, but in general, some of the best recruiting practices that we're finding is lots of food. Kids love food. And so we put together a lot of meetings that activities, team building activities, planning, and like Deanna said, giving them the lead in the projects and in the forming of their groups is very important. A lot of young people don't want the adults to tell them how to do it, so our adult advisors are told to be facilitators. They're to facilitate the group, make sure that they're on task, and that they're using their time wisely. And so one of the things that we use in team service is how do teams first learn about their volunteer activities? And the number one place that they find out about it is at their schools. Closely behind that second is that they're asked by someone. And so that's another challenge, I think, that people look at it as a challenge, but it's not, in that a lot of young people just aren't asked to help. And so a lot of times we have these ideas of getting youth involved, and we fail to go out and just reach out to the young people. And so when they're asked, the 40% of the people actually got involved. And then after that, it starts getting, the percentages get lower if they had a family member or a friend in an activity, tell them about it, or through participation in organizing a group, or even through their job, they find out about other kids and what they're doing. And then really what's kind of low on the list is that they actually, only 20% of the teens asked about their involvement actually sought out an activity, actually searched through the community and looked for something to do. And so, again, with our recruitment process, we're doing our best to get the kids in the community, whether it's at health and safety fairs or at schools or football games or different events where you're going to find young people. But they're asking young people to get involved rather than just kind of putting out a flyer and hoping that you're going to get a response. And then the last part, and this could be because of just money reasons or whatever, that you don't have a lot of advertisement on radio, TV, or other print publications, is actually the least effective way that young people get involved.
And I don't know if we can have Jacob and Leah talk a little bit. I mean, Leah talked about one of their recruitment events was a pool party, and Jacob, maybe you can address, are there any specific ways that you have worked to recruit young people in Minnesota?
What we've been using, which has been successful, is sending out invitations for press rallies and telling high schools about it and getting students up to the Capitol. And when they see that teens are actually doing hands-on involvement and that they're involved in the government, and right after we have the big media rally, then we take everyone into a room, and then that's when we tell them about Youth in Action, fill them in on the rest of the information, and they also provide a free supper or pop, and students just really like it, and they like to see things actually going on. So we invite a lot of non-Youth in Action members up to our press conferences. And then the rest is pretty much just by word of mouth and one school inviting the neighboring school to come with.
And Jacob makes a good point about it, including people who are non-Youth in Action members. And that's one thing that we were really sensitive to when we first started expanding our Youth in Action program, is that we didn't want to make Youth in Action all or nothing, meaning you're part of our group or not at all. Our groups are designed to be community-based groups of young people. And there are lots of people who are in SAD that are Youth in Action. There's lots of people who are in Pride and STAND and all the other drug-free groups that are out there that do their local and more their school-based activities under their drug-free club banner. But then when they're doing stuff in the community, they're coming together under the Youth in Action banner to get the trainings and the materials and the things that we provide to them for their community. And so that's a very important point, is that we're not, you know, an exclusive club, so to speak, to where we're isolating other groups and saying, you know, your members can't be part of ours or anything like that. We're actually very open arms in all of our communities, to where it's almost like a coalition in some ways to bring young people together.
Nathan?
I'd like to thank the presenter for giving us that information and just open the phone to questions and answers at this time. Are there any states that have any questions of any of our speakers today? Can you just give me your state?
New Mexico.
Okay. Any other state that has a question?
This is Tanya from Boston, Massachusetts.
Okay. Any other state that has a question? Okay. We'll start with New Mexico. Your question?
Yes, this is Linda Leon. I'm a senior in high school here. And I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit more about how a person would get a youth in action group started.
You bet. 1-800-GET-MAD or Emmerich, Emerick, at mad.org. We are happy to talk to you about it, and we just need to talk to you about what's going on in your state and what you need from us, and whatever you need, that's what we'll get for you.
Okay. Is this like a nationally funded program?
It is. Well, everybody's different, so we can just talk to you about what's going on in your state and what funds are available and how we can get you training that you need to get started.
Okay, can you give me that web address again, please?
Yes, it's actually email. It's Emmerich, Emerick, at mad.org.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Great. Thank you for your question. How about Massachusetts? Your question, please.
Yes, actually, I have two questions. One is a more general question, which is it's about the whole issue of sustainability of these programs in regards to keeping the youth involved, and from a resource perspective, where the funding comes from. So that's question number one for everybody. And then question number two, I just want Jacob maybe to talk a little bit about this second deal that the youth is about to set up in Minnesota. I would like to hear a little bit about how that came about and what they foresee coming out of that.
Great.
Why don't we start, and then Jacob, if Santa's worth three, you can just jump in, okay? As far as funding goes, and Janetta, you may want to jump into this conversation too. People want to fund youth initiatives. People want to work with young people. Corporations want to sponsor youth activities. We have funding available through this project to do training, but we haven't really had a lot of problems with finding funding if people really want to work on youth initiatives, because it's just something of interest to everybody. There's funding available through the state, through the OJJDP funding that came to the state, and it could be maneuvered in different ways to use it for youth funding, but also there is national funding available for people who are interested.
Great. Thank you, Jacob.
All right. Could you first define the question? I couldn't understand it correctly.
Sure. My question, Jacob, is you talk about a second bill that you are right now looking to get passed or developing, and I wanted to hear a little bit about what that was. You said something about registration in Minnesota. I couldn't hear very well what the bill was about.
Okay, yes, we're working on keg registration right now,
okay.
And this is another bill where we're trying to hold adults more liable for their actions, because alcohol is being provided at parties, and cops can come to the party and break it up, and they find a keg lying there, but no one claims of whose it is. And so with this new bill, what we're working on is we found a senator and a representative to help us write the bill, and when adults that are over 21 buy the kegs of beer, their name and address and information will be kept on them, and if there's an injury or death that results from the party, the cops and the alcohol establishment is able to trade to purchase the keg and hold them more liable for what they've done.
Great.
Thank you.
We'd like to thank New Mexico and Massachusetts for their question. Are there any other states that have questions? Any other state that has a question?
Nebraska.
Okay. Any other state? aggressive. Do you have your question?
Okay, I'm starting a brand new program here in Nebraska that's a lot like Youth in Action. As a matter of fact, it's very, very close. I am new in this field, so as I was listening, especially to getting youth involved, and I believe Steve was talking about, you know, asking the kids to get involved. How would you suggest would be the best way to go about that? And are schools very open to new programs coming in regards to taking time, things like that?
One of the things Steve, this is Jana, and then Steve can answer whatever he thinks too, but one of the things that Steve was reading about the survey on why young people got involved, they got involved because friends asked them to. So a lot of it was based on a friend or someone their own age saying, hey, I'm involved or I'm starting a group or come join me in this. And a lot of times they're more receptive to a person than there would be an adult saying I'm organizing a group. So I guess my first comment would be make sure that you have young people on your planning committee or however you're starting off this process.
Okay.
Because they're going to be the ones to give you invaluable advice on how to get more young people involved.
Okay. That's very helpful.
Great. Any other comments from Steve or one of the young people?
From Quebecville?
Okay. Are there any other questions? Any other states that have questions? North Carolina? Okay, if we can move forward with New Mexico's question and then North Carolina. New Mexico?
I just had a response to Nebraska's question about youth involvement. And my aunt is the underage drinking prevention coordinator here. It's like a task force in Ontario, New Mexico. And she goes into the classrooms and she gets a big conference going at the junior highs, and then also at the high school here we have a tardy lockdown program if you're late for class. You have to go into the cafeteria. And she goes in and she talks to people there and she lets people know about it there. Like, if your school is going to work with you, then that really, really had a big impact on a lot of people. She gets people telling her how much that they have changed their lives and stuff like that. So they really do listen.
Great.
Thanks, Donetta. This is Jana. I just want to jump in with one more thing. The unique sense of this project is that it isn't school-based. It's community-based. And so while it is important that you get school buy-in, definitely, you're not necessarily a new school club and you're not taking up school time because it's really geared more broadly to a community-based group. So I don't know if that answers your question. But there is a real difference in the focus of this project than some of the school-based groups.
Great. Thank you. We can move forward with North Carolina's question.
Hi, I just have a quick question. Someone mentioned briefly the student activist training program. I was wondering if someone could elaborate more on that.
Sure. Our student activist training program is designed to be a 6 to 8 hour, one day training where a group of a community group, a drug free group, whatever you have, desires to learn more about activism. We have trainers, national trainers that we can send out them through this one day training. And there's a lot of hands on interactive activities. There's some team building stuff, but really the meat of the program is teaching them about media advocacy, teaching them how to work with their school boards, their local and state legislatures, and working as a team to go out and not only, you know, recruit, but to do some good active planning.
And I would also just say the student activist training is a really great opportunity for us to get into groups that aren't interested in underage drinking necessarily. You can go to the student council. You can go to some of the academic clubs or the sorority fraternity type clubs on a high school campus. They really have an interest now more than ever in advocacy and involving young people in policy work. They don't necessarily call us about underage drinking. That's just the example we use as we teach them how the public policy this process works. So we just kind of slip in the issue while we're doing a general training about youth advocacy. So it's an opportunity to get in some doors that might not have an immediate interest in this issue, but want to know more about involving young people in policy work.
Oh, thank you.
Hmm? Thank you.
Are there other states that have questions?
Yes, this is Massachusetts again.
Okay, any other states that have questions?
Oh, Illinois.
Okay, we can move forward with Massachusetts' question and then Illinois, Massachusetts.
Yes, my question is, how do you gather a group of youth that is not already a captive audience? For example, kids that are in schools or kids that are in clubs are much easier to go and provide them with the training and through that vehicle talk about underage drinking. So what about the youth that are not in any of those areas? What has been your experience as far as recruitment and sustainability?
That's always a challenge just because the busy kids are busy. They're in clubs and they're doing things. One place you can also look, community centers like YMCAs or Boys and Girls Clubs, where young people are there but not necessarily a member, or they have time available to do some other things. You can also look at church groups, which is not just the traditional in-school academic student council type kids. You're going to have those, but you're going to have another audience with that group, too. So the challenge with working with young people is that you do have to look at non-traditional ways of recruiting. And it does take a little more work in the beginning, but the dividends pay off in the end. And I don't know, maybe if Jacob or Leah have any comments on...
I do.
Okay.
This is Leah. We had a problem. We have three, I live in a pretty small county, and we have three major high schools in our county. And so that's one of the good reasons why it's not a school-based program, because we have the north end of the county, the central end of the county, and the south end of the county all involved. And a good way that we did about recruiting different areas is we went to schools, and then we also went to, like, we have our Super Walmart, too. This is sad to say, but everybody in our county goes to the Super Walmart on the weekend. So, you know, we went there and we passed out literature. Then you can go to the movies. We passed out literature there at the library. I mean, everybody has to get out of their house sometime. And so it's just a matter of where you're going to catch them. And that way you can get all the different groups. You can go to sporting events and all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, you have to write down the different groups kind of that you have in your county and which places they go to, and make sure you cover all those places and not just some of them.
There's a group in Dallas that's even looking at creating a slide for the movie theaters. Now that they have those advertisements before they do the movies, they can actually get a slide placement and just have a phone number or a web address for people to go to.
Great. Thank you. Illinois, your question?
Yes. I was wondering a little bit more about the national training and if there are charge for the trainers to come out to the booth, and how do I get in contact?
Okay.
I need, I guess, for you to clarify, are you thinking national training in that we provide training to your state and community?
Training.
That's really just a matter of letting us know that you need it.
Okay.
We have some funding available to do some support at the state level.
Okay.
And we can possibly talk to you about bringing in trainers to your state. What probably would need to happen is just a phone call with Steve Rice, talk about where you are, what your needs are, what's going on, and then figure out what we can do.
Okay. And I can do this through the email address?
You bet.
Thank you.
Sure.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other states with questions? Okay, I'd like to move forward by asking either Jana or Steve to just quickly talk about maybe another project at MAD that's going on with young people that we haven't discussed.
What we haven't discussed is our upcoming summit in the end of October, beginning of September, or end of September, beginning of October this year, and it will be in Washington, D.C. It will be basically the same model that we did in 97, but we've learned from at this year is we're actually having some town hall meetings where the young people are going back into their states and discussing what they did at the youth summit, discussing the recommendations and those types of things so that they can be more actively involved on their state and community level immediately following the summit. One of the things that we're doing leading up to this summit is we're actually taking the same exact model on the national level, and we're doing it on the state level. And we actually have, I believe it's 5 or 6 state summits that we're doing this year across the nation, where they're meeting at their state capital with their congressional districts on the state level, represented by young people as well. So it's a little bit smaller than the national summit, obviously with attendance and the amount of days that they're at their own capital. But we've already completed, I believe it was the Mississippi state summit and the Indiana state summit, where they've actually did their recommendations. We had a challenge in Mississippi because there was bad weather. They weren't able to complete it and get to their legislatures, but they're planning a day in April to gather the kids back so that they can have their state capital meeting.
I know there's some people on the call from Indiana. Were you any of you at that state summit? Yes, ma'am. Okay.
So, and so as far as other programs, what we're doing is we're really trying to stay focused and with the youth in action, with the camps and with the summit, rather than trying to spread ourselves too thin and do too much. And we're really planning and hoping to do these really well. And we're very excited with the turnout. We're excited about the interest in people wanting youth in action sites in their communities, and then wanting to take it to the state and the national level by being involved with the state and national summit. Some of the states that are coming up is Louisiana, Washington, Hawaii, and Vermont that will be doing state summits as well. And again, these are all designed to give the young people the lead, to have them come and give their ideas and their solutions to the underage drinking problem.
Great. Thank you, Steve. Are there any states that have questions at this point?
Yes, I have 2 questions in Massachusetts.
Okay, go ahead.
The first one is related to these follow-up activities. How do states get selected to do a state summit?
That actually was just an application process that we sent out about a year ago, and just asked people who would be interested in doing it and what were you committed to that level of involvement. And it was a grant-funded pilot project, so our goal is to expand it. And so if there's an interest on your part, we would definitely love to include you in the next round of summits next year.
Thank you. Then my other question goes back to your first program. I didn't get a chance to ask this question. And it's more about how do you measure your levels of success and the kinds of impact that this youth program is having in changing community norms, not necessarily the underage drinking pattern or decrease of that, but other kinds of community norms that really lead to underage drinking. Do you have any reports on that and what the ways that you measure that in your level of success?
Well, right now we are still working on gathering that type of information. And one great thing about partnering with a group like the Pacific Institute is they have all the evaluation tools and can help us do that. And this is a long-term project, Steve. So what we're doing is just looking at communities before the Youth in Action intervention takes place, looking at the media and the attitudes about the issue, and then watching it long term. So I guess immediately we're still working on our instruments for determining our success. I don't mean to be vague, but we're just measuring it right now in this pilot phase of this project. And of course the immediate success is when the young people have an event or an activity like the one Jacob was involved with, where they actually had a piece of legislation get passed. Obviously, that's some measure of success right there. But some of it is a little more soft success, and that we're tracking right now.
Great. Thank you, Jana. Are there any other states with questions? Okay, I'd like to now ask for final comments from our speakers. But before I do that, I'd like to share with our listening audience that, again, we apologize for the feedback on this call. It's quite obvious from this call that because our participation has grown to over 200, this phone system cannot handle this call in the future. So in our future upcoming calls, we will be using a different system. So stay tuned with us and listen in and look for in the mail the new information on our phone system. I'd like to now ask Jacob and Leah for final comments. Jacob?
I'll just like to thank everyone for joining in and just that teams are more than willing to get out there and save lives. It's our friends that are being killed. It's our friends that are killing other people. This is a thing that Major League is not always showing on the news, how many teens are killed by drunk driving and how many other terrible incidents come from underage drinking. But it's just so important that we keep working on this and that teens and adults work together. And adults allow the teens to start taking the lead because this is a team problem that's affecting the whole community also.
Thank you, Jacob. Leah?
Yes, I would like to thank everybody also for coming today, and I'm right there with what Jacob said. It doesn't affect us only as teens, but it affects all the adults too.
We also have
and me as a person who has lost one of my friends in an alcohol-related crash, I think this is a very important program. I think we're really getting to people, and I think we're really making a difference, and I think that's what we're here to do. We're definitely
learn
today how to use kids.
Great. If I can ask Jana and Steve for final comments. Jana?
Thanks. I guess we would just like to wrap up by saying that it has been nothing but positive for us to
start that restoration around the country, was it?
They have been great partners, and they have been helpful in planning in the beginning and evaluating midstream. And I guess just, I think Jacob put it the best. Young people are so willing
to take from that
involved. They just need the opportunity, the invitation, and they need the guidance from adults to help them maneuver their way through the system, whether it be public policy or enforcement, or even just how to
get an initiative
be more about using the media. And so I would just encourage each of you to view us as a resource in your planning and involvement, and we are happy to answer questions and help with ideas and strategies on how to involve young people. And I think that Jacob and Leah would agree that they're available to talk to people about their recruitment. And so I would just
that people should definitely be involved next month.